Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily for Friday. We usually start with a bit of light banter, but today we need to lead with a severe weather alert for the area.
That's right. If you have outdoor plans this weekend, you need to rethink them. The National Weather Service has issued a severe weather alert starting late tonight. We are looking at a 100% chance of rain beginning around 3 a.m. Saturday and continuing heavy throughout the day.
And it's not just a gentle shower. We're expecting moderate to heavy rain with potential thunderstorms rolling through. The primary hazard here is sudden downpours and lightning. The Weather Service is advising everyone to secure loose outdoor items today, and honestly, just plan to stay indoors on Saturday.
It's a bit of a shock to the system because today, Friday, is actually going to be quite hot. We're currently sitting at 61 degrees and overcast this morning, but it's going to heat up quickly. We're expecting a high of 88 degrees by 6 p.m. today with broken clouds.
So you get this heavy, humid heat building up all day Friday, which is exactly the fuel those incoming storms need. By midnight, temperatures will drop into the low 70s, and that's when the rain starts moving in. Saturday is just going to be a washout, with temperatures hovering in the mid-60s all day and relentless rain.
Exactly. So enjoy the heat today if you can stand the humidity, but get your yard work done now. Do not wait for Saturday.
Absolutely.
All right, moving on to our news for the day. We've got a packed episode. We're diving into a major new policy from Grand Rapids Public Schools regarding cell phones, a new millage proposal for Kent County Parks that could be on your next ballot, and a surprising surge in retail leasing downtown.
Plus, we'll round out the show with some updates on community policing, a new exhibit at Meyer Gardens, and the Griffins' latest schedule drop. Let's get into it.
Kicking things off with education. Grand Rapids Public Schools has just announced a district-wide ban on student cell phone use during school hours, effective at the start of the upcoming academic year. This is a massive shift from their previous, more lenient policies.
It really is, and it's a conversation that's been brewing for years, not just here in West Michigan, but nationally. The new policy dictates that students must turn their phones off and store them away from the first bell to the last. They aren't just saying to keep it in your pocket. They are requiring phones to be kept in designated lockers or specialized locked pouches during instructional time.
The district says this is entirely driven by the need to reclaim the classroom environment. The superintendent noted that teachers are losing anywhere from 10 to 20% of instructional time just managing cell phone distractions. They're dealing with text messaging, social media drama spilling over into the physical classroom, and general disengagement.
The teachers' union has actually come out in strong support of this. They've been begging for a unified district policy because leaving it up to individual teachers to police phone usage was creating massive inconsistencies. One classroom would be strict, the next would be lax, and it was causing friction. It puts the teacher in the role of a bouncer rather than an educator. With a district-wide mandate, the administration takes the heat, not the individual algebra teacher. Critics, however, and this includes a vocal group of parents, are raising safety concerns. We live in an era where school emergencies are, tragically, on everyone's mind. Some parents argue that in the event of a lockdown, they want a direct line of communication to their children. The district's counterargument is that during an emergency, active cell phone use can actually impede safety protocols and spread misinformation. Right. The administration emphasized that every classroom is equipped with landlines, and parents can always reach the front office. But you can understand the emotional reaction from parents. Beyond the safety aspect, there's the logistical nightmare of enforcement. How do you ensure 3,000 high schoolers actually hand over their devices? That's where the investment in these locked pouches comes in. The district is reportedly spending over $200,000 to outfit middle and high schools with this technology. Students tap the pouch on a magnetic base on their way out of the building to unlock it. It's an investment, but if it translates to better academic performance and mental health, the board feels it's well worth it.
And the mental health angle is huge. The policy brief cited studies showing that constant access to social media during the day is exacerbating anxiety and depression among teens.
By forcing a digital detox for 7 hours a day, GRPS is hoping to foster more face-to-face interaction in the hallways and cafeterias. It's going to be a tough transition for the first few weeks, no doubt. But it's a bold move, and I wouldn't be surprised if neighboring districts like Forest Hills or Rockford are watching this rollout very closely to see if they should follow suit next year.
Turning to local government, the Kent County Board of Commissioners is currently debating a new property tax millage proposal that would fund significant expansions and maintenance for our regional parks. If approved by the board, this would go to the voters on the upcoming November ballot.
The proposed millage is asking for 0.5 mils over the next 10 years. For the average homeowner in Kent County, that translates to roughly $60 to $75 a year, depending on your property's assessed value. The Parks Department says this funding is absolutely critical because they are seeing record usage numbers post-pandemic, but their operational budget hasn't kept pace.
Exactly. We're talking about places like Millennium Park, Townsend Park, and the network of trails that connect them. Millennium Park in particular has seen incredible traffic at its beach and splash pad areas, and the wear and tear is showing. The proposal outlines that about 60% of the revenue would go toward deferred maintenance, fixing up pavilions, repaving trails, upgrading restroom facilities. The remaining 40% is earmarked for land acquisition to actually expand the park system.
That land acquisition piece is where the debate is getting a little heated among the commissioners. Some conservative members of the board are arguing that we should focus solely on maintaining what we have before buying up more land, especially in a tight economic climate where taxpayers are already feeling the pinch of inflation.
Right. The argument is essentially, we love our parks, but is now the right time to ask residents for more money? On the flip side, proponents argue that as Kent County continues to grow and develop, green space is disappearing rapidly. If the county doesn't buy these strategic parcels of land now to connect trail systems or preserve wetlands, they'll be lost to commercial or residential development forever.
The parks director made a really compelling presentation, showing that park usage is up nearly 40% since 2019. He pointed out that during peak summer weekends, they are literally having to turn people away from certain trailheads because the parking infrastructure simply cannot handle the volume. People discovered these spaces during the pandemic, and they haven't stopped using them. But that level of foot traffic degrades the infrastructure faster. They're struggling to keep up with trash removal, trail erosion, and general wear and tear.
There's also an economic development argument being made here. High-quality regional parks are a major draw for talent. When companies look to relocate or expand in West Michigan, the quality of life, including access to outdoor recreation, is a huge selling point. So the millage is being framed by some as an investment in the county's broader economic competitiveness. The commissioners are expected to take a final vote on whether to put this on the ballot at their next meeting on Thursday. If it passes, expect to see a very active public information campaign from both sides as we head into the fall election season. It's going to be a key issue for local voters to decide.
For our final deep dive today, let's talk about downtown Grand Rapids. While the narrative around downtowns nationwide has been pretty gloomy, focusing on empty office buildings and remote work, Grand Rapids is experiencing a surprising surge in street-level retail leasing.
It's a really fascinating trend. According to a new report from local commercial real estate firms, retail vacancy rates in the Central Business District have dropped to their lowest levels since 2019. We're seeing a wave of new boutique shops, specialty cafes, and experiential retail concepts signing leases, particularly along the Monroe Center corridor and over in the Studio Park area.
What's interesting is the type of businesses moving in. It's not your traditional big box stores or national apparel chains. It's local entrepreneurs, and they are catering to a crowd that values experience. We're seeing interactive art spaces, high-end thrift boutiques, and hybrid cafe bookstores. The report highlights that over 70% of the new leases signed in the last 12 months are from locally owned independent businesses.
And that makes sense. The landscape of downtown has shifted. With hybrid work, you don't have the same predictable Monday through Friday 9-to-5 office crowd. Instead, downtown has become much more residential and event-driven. We have more people living downtown than ever before. And venues like the Van Andel Arena and DeVos Place are consistently driving evening and weekend foot traffic.
Exactly. Retailers are adapting to that new rhythm.
A coffee shop might not do the morning rush volume it used to in 2018, but they're staying open later to catch the pre-concert dinner crowd or the residents walking their dogs in the evening. It's a more neighborhood-centric feel, which is arguably healthier for the long-term vibrancy of the city center. One of the traditional barriers to downtown retail has always been the perception of parking issues. But the city's recent rollout of the Dash Shuttle expansions and better dynamic parking apps has actually mitigated a lot of those complaints. People are finding it easier to park once and hop around to different districts. However, it's not all sunshine. The report does note that while retail is bouncing back, upper floor office space is still struggling significantly. Landlords are having to get very creative. But having a vibrant street level actually helps solve the office problem. If you're a company trying to convince your employees to come back to the office 3 days a week, it's a lot easier to make that pitch if the street outside is bustling with great lunch spots, independent bookstores, and cafes, rather than empty storefronts. Definitely. The Downtown Development Authority has also played a role here, offering microgrants for storefront improvements and supporting events that draw people into the city. It's a coordinated effort, and it seems to be paying off. It'll be exciting to see how these new businesses fare as we head into the busy fall season, and eventually the holiday shopping months.
All right, that's a lot of heavy lifting for our deep dives. Let's pivot and hit a few more stories from around West Michigan real quick before we get you out of here for the weekend.
Sounds good. We've got a mix of local initiatives, some exciting community events, and a quick sports update.
First up, the Grand Rapids Police Department has officially launched a new community policing pilot program in the city's southeast side. The initiative assigns dedicated neighborhood officers to specific beats, aiming to build long-term relationships with residents rather than just responding to dispatch calls.
It's a model that focuses heavily on foot patrols and attending neighborhood association meetings. The goal is proactive problem solving. By having officers who know the local business owners and residents by name, the department hopes to increase trust and address quality of life issues before they escalate into serious crimes.
The pilot will run for 6 months, after which the City Commission will review the data on crime rates and community feedback to determine if the program should be expanded citywide next year.
On a lighter note, Frederick Meyer Gardens and Sculpture Park has announced they will be hosting a rare orchid exhibition starting next month. The exhibit will feature over 1,000 blooming orchids, including several endangered species on loan from International Botanical Gardens.
This is a huge get for Meyer Gardens. The horticultural team has been preparing the Tropical Conservatory for months to ensure the precise humidity and temperature controls needed for these delicate plants. It's expected to be a major draw for plant enthusiasts across the Midwest.
Tickets are already on sale, and given the popularity of their butterfly exhibition, you'll definitely want to book your entry times in advance. The orchid exhibit runs through the end of September. In state news, Michigan transportation officials have announced the location of 12 new fast charging stations for electric vehicles along the I-96 corridor between Grand Rapids and Detroit. This is part of a broader federal infrastructure grant aimed at reducing range anxiety for EV drivers. The new stations will be strategically placed at existing rest areas and major interchanges. Each site will feature at least 4 high-speed chargers capable of getting most modern EVs back to an 80% charge in under 30 minutes. Construction is slated to begin this fall, with the state aiming to have all 12 stations operational by the busy summer travel season next year.
Finally, wrapping up with some sports, the Grand Rapids Griffins have released their highly anticipated promotional schedule for the upcoming hockey season. Fans can look forward to the return of popular staples like Star Wars Night, Princess Night, and the annual Teddy Bear Toss.
They've also added a few new theme nights this year, including a celebration of West Michigan's brewing history with special retro jerseys. The home opener is just a few weeks away, and single-game tickets officially go on sale this coming Monday at 10 a.m.
Always a great time down at the arena. If you're planning to take the family, definitely check out those Friday night dollar dog promotions. They are always a massive hit.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily. As a reminder, please take that severe weather alert seriously. The National Weather Service is not messing around with this 100% chance of rain starting at 3 a.m. Saturday. Secure your outdoor furniture today. Clean out your gutters if you haven't. And if you have travel plans on Saturday, be prepared for heavy rain, localized flooding, and potentially hazardous driving conditions.
Stay safe out there, everyone.
We will be back in your feeds on Monday to recap the weekend and look ahead to next week's news.
Thanks for listening,
and have a great, safe weekend.